You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. In our wandering around Southern California on the 405, we have come across a wonderful nutritionist. I want to introduce you to Mariah Ibrahim, who is she's a foodie. She's called a Fit Foodie, a TV chef, nutrition coach, and author. Just got a brand new book out, Eat Like You Give a Fork, and she has a new program coming out next week. So welcome, Mariah.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Mariah, there are lots of people out talking about food these days and talking about it in a whole different way from the way we talked about food even 20 years ago, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know a lot more about food and our bodies and how best to eat, but I still think there's a whole lot of confusion out there.
Well, tell us more about how you see food, how you see people changing in their awareness of food.
Yeah, well, I think there's two sides to the story. I think that, you know, the way food is grown and manufactured and our global economy around food has changed significantly. And so as consumers, we need to be that much more vigilant and aware because, you know, there's just a plethora of choices. I mean, there's 5,000 different types of cereal on the shelf, right? So I call it the language of labelese. Like, forget about knowing how to speak English, you need to know how to read a label. So I think that's very important. And then on the other side, I think that in our eternal quest for health and sound nutrition, I think a lot of people are looking for the quick fixes. And so a lot of diets and approaches have come out for a quick fix. And so you have a proliferation of different approaches. And I think at the end of the day, there are some pretty simple approaches that everybody can use as a baseline. And they help to lower inflammation. They help to build muscle mass. They help to improve your gut health because your gut health is everything. And they allow you some flexibility because everybody needs a little flexibility. So I see food from two very different sides, but the two sides are extremely important for people to, you know, to be equipped with going into a grocery store and making a decision.
Yeah, it seems to me that that's at the heart of where we are today is how do we make decisions about food? It seems to be such a change in, I suppose we look back at the food pyramid and we really can't trust that anymore, can we?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at the traditional food pyramid, or you look at, government recommendations on how to eat, I mean, there are elements of it that do make sense. You know, half the plate should be fresh fruits and vegetables. I mean, I'm a fan of eating more of the vegetables and eating the ones that are low in starch, low glycemic index. So I think all of that is really, really important. But the jury is out, to be honest, on dairy, on the amount of or the types of grains that we should be eating, the types of protein. And I think that's where we need to dive in a little bit more. What we do know is food is processed in a very different way than it was 20, 30, even 40, you know, especially 40 years ago. The food that your parents and your grandparents ate was probably raised with a lot fewer pesticides and a lot fewer additives. And all of those get in the way. So, you know, the recommendations might be eat half a plate of vegetables, but I would prefer you're eating fresh vegetables or vegetables that have been preserved in a way that is conducive to health versus, you know, going and getting something that's got a bunch of fat added to it, a bunch of sodium, et cetera, that you might find in the frozen section that's already been seasoned for you. So we need to break down the recommendations even further.
All right. So when we think about we're in the grocery store. Where should we be looking?
Well, food needs to die in general. Most of the food that we eat needs to turn bad. You know, nobody will benefit from the food that has an eternal shelf life, like Twinkies, you know, that will basically never biodegrade in your own body. So I like focusing on the perimeter of the store. Lots of fresh produce, good quality meats that are raised humanely, that are raised on the foods that they should be eating. I'll give you an example. If you buy wild-caught seafood, you know, generally speaking, the wild-caught is eating what it should. It's eating what exists in nature that gives it the qualities that we benefit from, the types of protein and the types of omega-3s that are all beneficial. If they're raised in an environment that is not natural, they're generally eating foods that are highly, highly inflammatory. And we then eat that inflammatory food. So buying foods that are protein-based, it's that much more important to make sure that they're sustainably raised, they're eating the right food, they're grass-fed or grass-finished, they're wild-caught, they're free-range, etc. So that's important. And then if you do eat dairy, again, really thinking about what the sources are. Personally, in the book, I don't really focus on cow dairy because it's highly inflammatory for a lot of people. And I think there are other better sources of those items. Like, I'm a big fan of sheep and goat milk products because they're easier to digest. And generally speaking, they're fed better foods. So when you look at my book, you'll see more of those types of products. And then when it comes to grains or baked goods, again, we have a lot of options, and a lot of them are not great because they have sugar and different additives added in that don't benefit us. So I recommend when you're having grains or you're having baked goods that it's made with flours that are whole food flours that are free of processed sugar and bleached, you know, ingredients and things of hydrogenated fats, things of that nature.
Well, what about meat? There's a lot of conversation about the difference between grass-fed beef and industrial beef from feedlots.
Yeah, I mean, they're, like I mentioned, they're two different animals, no pun intended. But you know, when you have a cow that's raised in a feedlot in a congested area, they're highly susceptible to disease. So they usually up the antibiotics and the hormones that are given to those animals so that they produce more, faster, quicker, in higher volume. And that's not good for the animal, and it's not good for us. And they're generally fed corn. Corn is highly, highly sprayed. It's one of the most highly sprayed crops in the United States. And generally it's with pesticides that have high levels of glyphosate. So we want to stay away from those. When you've got a cow or bison that's raised in a free range grass fed environment, they're eating what they're supposed to. They're not at a congested area where they are highly susceptible to disease. They're raised humanely, and that affects our health. So I would rather you spend a little bit more money or maybe eat less and get the better quality protein than eating more of the cheap stuff.
Yeah. How do you see what happened over the last 30 years with the low fat movement?
Well, it's exactly what made us fat. You know, if you look at that time period where everything was low fat, we had the highest levels of obesity and mortality in relation to high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease. And so the data and the science that we're seeing corroborates this idea that it's not about low fat. It's about eating a variety of nutrients that help you overall. And when you eat a low fat diet, a lot of those foods were related to like packaged foods, right? I mean, how would you know that they were low fat unless it says on the package low fat? So people were, instead of eating an apple, they were going to the low fat snack wells. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So low fat doesn't mean anything in and of itself. It just means the fat content is lower, but it doesn't mean that the kind of fat is good. It generally means that there's more sugar and other ingredients added to modulate the flavor, because flavor is everything. And then people kind of felt a license to almost eat more because, well, why not? It's low fat, right? It's not going to affect me. So a lot of misperceptions around these labels. And I would say we have a lot of the same kind of misperceptions around things like gluten-free and paleo and keto and all of these monikers that are being used out of context that, you know, are buzzwords. Even the word organic, you know, organic in and of itself doesn't mean much other than they don't use chemical pesticides. That doesn't mean they don't use pesticides, and it doesn't mean that the food is clean. It just simply means that it was grown in a certain way. But you can eat an organic Oreo. So, I mean, you tell me, is that a better choice? No.
An organic Oreo.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's make it deep fried. We'll get it from Orange County Fair.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think...
An organic...
You know, so you can have an organic deep fried Oreo in ghee, okay? So now we've kind of like, we've bastardized what this all means, you know? And what I'm simply saying is, I think if people look at what their grandparents ate, you know, and they looked at what foods live in the perimeter of the store that don't have a shelf life, an eternal shelf life, you know, because if it's going bad, that means that there is a freshness component and we should be eating as much fresh food as we can. And I think if, you know, I'm Middle Eastern, my family is from, you know, the Mediterranean Crescent, and I was raised on a plethora of fresh produce, fresh seafood, olives, olive oil, you know, the classic Mediterranean diet. And years later, science is still corroborating and saying that the Mediterranean diet is the best diet, overall diet, because it's a lifestyle. It's an approach. It's not a quick fix. It's not a, oh crap, I gained a bunch of weight, so I'm gonna get on a keto plan and lose a lot of weight and then potentially hurt my organs. No, it's an overall approach. Approach for the long haul, and my program is largely based on that.
Well, talk about your program then.
Yeah, so you know, I'm really proud of the book that came out in June. It's called Eat Like You Give a Fork, The Real Dish on Eating to Thrive, because I got really tired of all of the, you know, kind of quick fix approaches out there and wanted to take my, you know, 10 years of coaching people and over 27 years in the food industry and break it down in a language that people can understand. So it's 8 strategies to help you lower inflammation, boost your gut health, build muscle mass, and retrain your taste buds to crave the foods that lead you down the path to better health. I always say, you know, food is information. It's not just a calorie. It's a piece of information that's going to help you or hurt you. It's going to build your house or break it down. And so you can't just burn information off. It's not just a calorie. It's your lifeline. And so we know that the best medicine out there is food. So it's preventative health. And the book is very concise in giving you the strategies you need to eat and repeat to infinity. And with simple to make recipes, you know, I'm a chef, but I know as somebody that's dealt with mostly consumers that you got to make it easy. You've got to make the ingredients easy to find and approachable. So that's what the book is. And the program is called Eat to Thrive, and it's coming out next week. I'm very, very excited about it. It's based on the book. So the book is your handbook to take you through the program. But there are videos to watch. There's an audio component for each strategy. And there's a written component. So I'm a visual learner. I like to see a video and then I like to hear it. So it's very much for the learners out there that take learning in a different way. And it's a course, you know, so it's kind of like you never learned nutrition, you never learned how to cook in school or from your family. this is a place to start that gives you the whole picture. And it's done in a simple, fun, entertaining way. And I'm super cheeky. I'm going to tell it to you like it is. You know, I'm your girlfriend, your BFF, your straight shooter, but I love to help people. And so there's a support group that goes with it. There's just a lot of great resources, and people can find out more on our website and sign up for the program today at eatcleaner.com.
Eatcleaner.com.
Cleaner.com. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. People can also text CLEANSE, it's CLEANSE, to 22828, and they'll get information about the program and a free 2-week lead up to that program, which is a clean eating reset. So it's a 14-day clean eating reset with tips on how to cleanse and how to kind of get ready for the program.
So they should text what?
CLEANSE to 22828.
Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about, you have a program for helping people to eat healthier, which means to help them to live a better life, right?
Right.
So one of the, you know, I help business owners get what they want from their business with a system called the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And my clients are, as they move through the system, they become much more aware of the hopes, dreams, and desires of not only the leadership team, but also of their entire organization. And sometimes, you know, these companies have between 10 and 250 employees. And so they become very sensitive to the kind of things that will help their employees thrive, because that has a direct impact on the not only the quality of life in the organization, but also in the productivity of the organization.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And so one of the things that I've done is introduce them to a very fine woman who will help the employees learn how to manage their money better. And they've gotten lots of great reviews, just rave reviews from employees, because this is something that they haven't learned. They didn't learn in high school. And if they went to college, they didn't learn it there. And so this is a very important piece of helping them to take control of their life. I wonder how this would work with these companies.
Well, I'm so glad you brought this up, because I was a health coach for a few companies for many years, and introduced this concept of overall wellness just based on the experience that I had of coaching their employees one-on-one and hearing their concerns and their questions. But we know that overall health and wellness of your employees, I mean, your employees are your most dear and prized asset. Without them, I mean, I'm a business owner, and I rely on my employees like they're everything. And making sure that they're happy and healthy and that they're tracking well. I mean, I've helped my employees clean up their diets and sleep better and all of the things that we would hope to achieve from eating well. But you know, you've got increased productivity, you've got less sick time, you've got better work environment and better morale. You've got, I mean, the benefits are tremendous. Not to mention that companies can save a lot of money on their health programs, their insurance programs, when their employees are healthier. So this program is really perfect for those companies, because the employee can go through it. It's set up as an academy, and it's all automated. So they watch the video, they listen to the audio, they read about the strategy, they implement it, and then they get to go on to the next week. And what I've set up with a lot of these companies are 8-week challenges. So the employee, or the employer rather, can give further incentives for their employees to get the best results out of the program by incentivizing them. I worked with an automotive company that implemented the strategy, and it was incredible to see some of the results. I mean, some people were losing up to 5% body fat in just 8 weeks, you know, lowering their BMI so that they were, you know, in much better shape. But I think aside from the numbers, what we saw was the overall energy and excitement and productivity was just through the roof. And, you know, I still have people coming to me from those years of one-on-one health coaching that still want information and to be coached. So it really is a way to kickstart that excitement, especially I think now as we're heading into the holidays and the beginning of the year and companies are going through open enrollment with insurance. Like, this is the time to implement a program like this.
All right, good. So this, it's just amazing to me as when I work with companies and they really, on the one hand, they have huge dreams for revenue. They get freed up to have those dreams and they have plans for getting there. But at the same time, they begin to take a look at the quality of life that they are leading. And that begins to roll out into the rest of the company. And so quality of improvement of the quality of life, I mean, that's really an astounding thing that begins to happen. And then when we begin to put together the things that we know now about financial management, about living healthier, that becomes a movement, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. You know, I just heard about a CEO at a very large company who decided to get rid of all of the processed food that was in their vending machines, that did away with, donuts. They were offering donuts on certain days, and started to encourage things like yoga and healthy eating and healthy snacks that were being given out for free, not just in a vending machine, but actually giving them out every week to their employees. And so you make efforts like this, you send a message, also he himself went through a substantial weight loss. So you are the model for your company. You know, you get to set the ground rules. And I've seen a lot of tech companies that want to reward their employees by offering them a lot of different things. But I think sometimes it's almost like overboard and they're giving them too much of the not so good stuff. I think you can still reward your employees and encourage them with giving them incentives and things like free snacks and stuff, but just make them healthy, make them clean, and give them opportunities. Like, I've gone into companies where I've done cooking classes and I've done lunch and learns where I get the people excited about this lifestyle shift. I mean, that goes a much longer way to changing a behavior. And it really is a behavior shift, and that takes time.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing as you begin to look at how business can actually help employees improve the quality of their lives.
Yeah, and you have to think about it. I mean, most of our waking hours are spent at the office, right, or in our workplace. So, of course, it makes sense to use that opportunity to empower people. And for the employers out there, guess what it does? It increases your loyalty like you can't believe. You know, when somebody feels like they've gotten their life back or they have enhanced their own personal quality of life because of what you've given them in the workplace, there is no amount of money that you can put on that. I mean, it's amazing to me, like the people that I've worked with, they value that over wage increases. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't put a number on it. When you teach me how to eat better and take care of my life, and I feel better about myself, and I lower my risk of disease, and I can serve my family and be with my kids, like, that is something that you can't put a price on. And that means that you're taking care of me. You're not just giving me a paycheck.
Well, you're also expecting something from the community of employees, right? You're expecting them to take care of themselves. You're expecting them to reduce their mortality. You're expecting them to reduce their sick days. And you're giving them the tools to do that.
Well, and you just said something very important just by adding that. You're giving them the tools to do that. You know, I've heard from employees that say, I wish my employer would offer these services because I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to trust, right? And so there's a lot of information out there, but it's not all right. It's not all real. I mean, no offense. I mean, I think everybody, it's a wonderful place that the internet can be a place for entrepreneurs to do whatever, but like, why would you trust nutrition information from a blogger that doesn't have any credentials or experience, right? So I think we need to get the record straight on what to trust with sound information, with the support that you need for results for the long haul. This is not a quick fix. This is a lifestyle shift that you are adopting, and any habit that sticks takes about 21 days, right? That's kind of the logic behind a habit. I actually wrote a book a few years ago called The Clean Eating Handbook, and it's 31 essential rules for health, wellness, and a fabulously fit life. And I picked 31 because it's a month, you know, basically a 31-day month. But it's a habit that you adopt every single day. And when you do those and you repeat them, that's where you start to pick up, okay, I get this now. I know what to do. I know where to start. And if I just keep repeating these, I am well on my way to better health.
All right. All right. So I can see a place where employers can use you to help. You talked about reducing the number of sick days, reducing their health insurance costs, and improving the general quality of life in their organization.
Yes. Yes. I mean, boy, I just attended a conference yesterday put on by a very well-known functional medicine doctor, and he really laid out kind of the abysmal state of affairs that one in two people in the United States is overweight. Now, this is not about weight shaming, okay? This has nothing to do with shaming because of appearance. It's the problems, the health problems, and the disease, invitation to disease that excessive weight brings on. And I think that's where we need to kind of cut through the PC stuff a little bit. I'm just being honest. Uh-huh. You know, this is not about like a few extra pounds. This is about, is this going to affect your mortality? Is this going to affect your ability to fight infection? Is this going to affect your ability to prevent disease from invading your body? Because I want you here for the long haul. I want you to be healthy and happy and thriving. So I think for employers, they need to think about the context of how they serve this up in a different way. It's not being sensitive to telling people, oh, we're telling you to lose weight. No, it's not about that. It's, I want to help you be the best and the best fittest version of you so you can thrive. And that's exactly why the program is called Eat to Thrive. Not eat to lose weight, not eat to get into your skinny jeans. It's eat to thrive. Mm-hmm. Because I want you thriving.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk. You're an entrepreneur. Let's talk a little bit about your business.
Yeah.
How long have you had a business?
Yeah, so I started Grow Green Industries about a decade ago, and it started really with research. My father is an environmental scientist. I come from a culinary background, nutrition background, and my dad got cancer. He got bladder and prostate cancer. And when he was going through the rehabilitation after the fact, because he doesn't have a bladder, he uses a catheter, which is very prone to infection. And he is now autoimmune compromised. Yeah. So the doctor was sharing with him, you know, you should really avoid raw food, anything that's uncooked. And I looked at him and I was like, Dad, how are you going to eat a salad? You know, like, you love salads. Like, that's his favorite food in the world. He could eat a salad every meal. And so with his environmental science background and my nutrition and culinary background, we decided to join forces and create a product line that would not only enhance food safety, but deter food waste. You know, food waste it's an epidemic. About 40% of our food is thrown into landfills. And the emissions from that off-gassing is so harmful. It's the number one cause of greenhouse gases now. So we have a huge environmental problem, not to mention all of the resources that go into growing the food that goes to waste. And your money, you know, you're flushing your money down the toilet if you buy, you know, kale and spinach and strawberries and all of these foods that are good for your health and you're well-intentioned in that. But by the time you go to use them, they've gone bad. So we have a unique line of products called Eat Cleaner, and they come in sprays, they come in liquid concentrates, they come in powder form, they come in wipe form. We even have products that help to prevent browning of avocados, and they're all natural, organic, for use on organic produce, and they help to remove over 99.9% of the residue that can contribute to foodborne illness. So it removes the waxes that trap pesticides and dirt. It removes the dirt and soil that can get caked on. And it actually removes the pesticides themselves.
Well, let me ask you a question. If we were meeting together 3 years from today, now looking back over the 3 years, what has to have happened during that period for you to feel really happy about your progress?
Well, you know, I feel kind of happy about it already. You know, we've been on Home Shopping Network many times, QVC, we're a bestseller on Amazon. And all of those numbers are great. But you know what the best thing is? The best thing is when I get a letter, an email, a phone call from a customer who says, I have cancer and I wouldn't be able to eat produce without your product. Or I have a child who has allergies to everything, but when I started using your product, all of a sudden the allergies went away. It turns out it was the coatings and the stuff that's on the food that was causing the allergies. Mm. You know, there's nothing that makes me jump up and down more than when I get a note from someone that says, because of your book, because of your products, I'm eating better and I've lost this weight and now I can run around with my grandkids. So I've gotten there, but 3 years from now, what I would love to see is, you know, let's just say hundreds of thousands of people that have gone through the Eat to Thrive program and that they've gotten their lives back. You know, they feel better than ever and it's never too late. I don't care if you're in your 60s, 70s, or even 80s and saying it's too late for me. It's never too late to get your quality of life back. I've seen people go off of dozens of medications in a month just by eating better. So I would love to see that and for people to just be infectiously addicted to a lifestyle that serves them, that allows them to do what they were put on this earth to do, and that they share that love and that that result with other people so that they can experience it too.
All right. So hundreds of thousands of people. What might get in the way of that? What, you know, you might think about it as dangers or obstacles. What might get in the way of that happening 3 years from now?
People. I think people get in their own way and overthink things a lot. They're scared of change. They're scared to, you know, adopt a new habit or take on a different road. But I would say the fork in the road is to eat right. And so I walk you through it, baby steps, step by step, bite by bite. And guess what? 10% of the time you can still eat whatever you want. You can eat the cake. You can eat the burger. You can eat the, you know, the meatloaf that your grandmother makes that you love so much with the mashed potatoes and the gravy. You can still do that. It's just you're doing it less. And you're making better choices along the way. And guess what happens? When you implement the program, your taste buds change. So you could have had that second portion, but when you eat differently, you kind of have a hard time getting through the one portion. So I would say get out of your own way and take the step. It's just one step and one bite.
So what might you do to help people get out of their own way?
Well, I think the tools and the steps that we have that are in place, walk them through. It's like I'm taking your hand and giving you what you need so you're not confused. I think half the reason why people don't step forward is they're confused. They don't know where to start. I'm giving you the roadmap. I'm giving you the products to use to get your produce safer so that you eat more of it, which is half your diet. I'm giving you the book to follow, and I'm giving you the program. Mm-hmm. And we also offer a lot of free resources on our website at eatcleaner.com. We're active on social media, giving people additional resources. And we have this closed group for people that are part of the group to answer their specific questions. Mm-hmm. So there's no excuse. It's just, it's start today. Don't wait. Don't wait for your resolution. Nobody keeps those anyway. Start today.
So
because what you don't start today will affect you tomorrow.
So what are the opportunities that you have that you can capitalize on to get to these hundreds of thousands of people?
Well, for me, a lot of our vehicles are word of mouth and social media. You know, we're out there very diligently. I'm also, you know, I do a lot of television segments, having the book out in, you know, major bookstores. And on Amazon certainly helps, being able to talk to people like you who share the message. Mm-hmm. I think that companies, large companies that can get on board, that can empower their employees is significant. I think that is a huge way for our message to get out there. And, you know, I think it's also in people's contagious enthusiasm. When something works for you, don't you want to tell people about it? You mm-hmm. want to share that. So once things start working for people, they share. And there, it isn't a big purchase hurdle. I think people also get tripped up in this idea that eating this way costs a lot. I show you how to do it on a budget. I'm a single parent of two kids that has raised her kids alone. And so if I can do it and I can have this business and this product line and this book and all of the resources that I've created, then you can follow it.
All right. So what are the strengths that you have as a company and individually to help move this project forward?
Well, I mean, we've done the work. We have a patented line of products that are lab proven and validated. We have sound nutrition practices and approaches that people like, that are based on science. I think we're pretty likable people. I mean, we're mm-hmm. pretty cool, I'm going to say. I'm going to go out on a limb. My kids might not agree, but I think being able to be relatable in a way that doesn't feel like I'm shoving the information down your throat and a brand that you can trust because we've gone the distance with you. I respond to every social media inquiry. I myself mostly do the commenting. So it's not just like jargon or like an automated response you're getting from somebody that isn't invested in the business. We're very invested and we really care about individual people's successes. I mean, I've gone out on a limb and given people free consultations where I could charge them hundreds of dollars, and I do it because I feel their urgency. I feel their need. So I think that giving back and supporting people and also nonprofits that we give back to. I'm a chef for the Daniel Plan, which is a program through Saddleback Church where I give my time and we donate to the American Heart Association, the American Cancer Society. So we're definitely strong in giving back to the community too.
You say you're a chef. Do you cater?
I have been known to cater. I don't do it actively anymore, but I do for very special things. Like I donate my time. Like I donated a dinner for the American Heart Association, and I donated one to my friend who runs a food pantry where I'm cooking in a couple of weeks. So I it's usually attached to, you know, a worthy cause.
Well, let me ask you a question. If there was a group who regularly catered, invited caterers in to supply for their meetings. Is there a place for those caterers to understand or to learn how to cook the way that you're talking?
You know, there are a lot of different food associations and food service associations. I mean, I don't know of one in particular. But I have helped, hotels and and clubs and, you know, country clubs and things like that overhaul their menus for their clientele. And I'm happy to help people in that kind of capacity as well, you know, because they're serving their high-end clientele or their, you know, even schools. I've worked with schools to overhaul their menus, which, you know, the kids are their customers. So mm-hmm. there's ways to do it that can reach the masses for sure.
Good. Excellent. Well, it sounds like you have a real movement underway here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope, you know. The hope is we're just on the cusp of it. And we've already brought a lot of people into what we call our fit tribe, but I want hundreds of thousands more. I'm speaking it now, so I know that means something. So I want hundreds of thousands that are on board with us that want to make a difference. And that will happen from the top down. It happens where people are spending the majority of their day, and that's at work. So I hope all the employers out there are hearing this.
Well, let me ask you. Now, you have a particular way of going about this. I'm assuming, I'm making an assumption here, maybe I should ask the question. is your way of talking about food so different from other people that it's only your way?
It is because, you know, first of all, not very many people have a culinary and nutrition background that are coming to the table, number one. Number two, I break it down for people into a language that they can understand. You know, again, when I did my years of health coaching, the thing that I heard over and over again is, I don't know where to start. I'm so confused. Sometimes I read that I should eat this way, and other days I'll open up the same thing and it tells me to eat a different way. What should I do? So I break it down for people based on science and based on sustainability. What can they do for the long haul? It's not a quick fix, but it's something you can do forever. And that you can't say about a lot of diets. And the third thing I think that's really important is we give people all the resources that they need to do it. There's no questioning. There's no, well, I'm missing this part. It's comprehensive. And I think the last thing is, you know, being able to, a lot of people didn't ever learn how to cook, right? So they might eat better, but they're going out to do it. I want you to own that. I want you to do it at home, and I show you how to do it simply. So, you know, it's not enough to just say I eat this way or I eat that way. It's I know what I'm putting in my body, and I am preparing it in a way that's delicious and healthful. And that, it's priceless. It's kind of like the old saying, you can give a person a fish, but teaching, well, how does that saying go? I'm totally corrupting it, but you know what I'm saying. Teach them how to fish and they'll eat for a lifetime.
Right.
And that's what I want to do. I want to teach you how to eat. I want to not just teach you how to cook, but I want to teach you how to eat.
Well, I think we're going to have a lot to talk about times, because this sounds like a real movement that many business owners could profit from in terms of helping their employees to become healthier.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. That's what we're after. We're after a movement, and it's the Eat to Thrive movement. It's not about eating for deprivation.
Right. Excellent. Well, what else would you like to say? How can somebody get in touch with you or the program?
Yeah. So the best thing to do is to text CLEANSE, CLEANSE, to 22828. That gets you into our world. It gets you access to our 14-day free clean eating reset. It gives you access to our website with all of our fantastic award-winning products that help you to eat cleaner and safer every day. And it gets you part of the conversation, because you'll now be part of our fit tribe.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to talking with you more about this.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for having me on. I think we're just scratching the surface, but hopefully everybody listening can get a place to start.
Well, there you have another way of helping businesses and the employees of businesses thrive in California.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.